Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. In the summer of 2013, the New York Times came out with an article with Hans Mattson on the front page. He talks about why he became disaffected from the church. He's also the author of Truth Seeking, which is available on Amazon. So you can find out more about that. But in this conversation, we're going to talk about some of the behind-the-scenes things and how church leaders reacted to that interview in the New York Times. Check out our conversation. So after the meeting, you came to New York and...
Actually, what happened after the meeting, Elder Jensen met with the leaders of Sweden. And when we left, and they were told to, as I understand it, to visit all of us who was there and ask if we will leave or we will stay. So they went around to all of us, and I think 8 of them left the church directly.
And really?
And when the stake person arrived in my home, I said, what do you mean? I'm not ready to leave anything. I just still wanted to know the truth. So they didn't do anything that time.
So there were about 20 people in Sweden that the meeting was really for, and 8 of them left as a result of the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And today I think all of them. No, I think there is 1 or 2 that still are kind of on the papers, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah. But after that, you know, they had New York Times through. Had tried to contact me, and because they found out there is someone on a high position in the church, they have doubts. So they wanted to have an interview, but I declined it for 2 years.
Oh.
No, I don't, because my wife wasn't ready. I don't want to go out public without her support. Mm-hmm. So when she was ready...
She was a convert as well, right?
She was. Yeah.
Did you baptize her, as I remember
right? Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
1st of January, 1974.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And anyway, so she was kind of fed up with me because I was listening to many podcasts. And she said, you know, every night when I go to sleep, I can always hear John Deline's voice all over, you know. I think you are married to him instead of me. So she was a little upset about that. but we had a lot of conversation anyway. And she also, she told me once, you know, I was home. I didn't go to the church, but she did. And because, you know, she felt good in the church. But during the sacrament meeting, she heard a very clear voice from inside of her. Birgitta, her name is Birgitta. Why are you sitting here? You should be with your husband. And she felt so strongly, so she just stood up during the sacrament and went home and said, Hans, I have to tell you, I had a real experience that I was told to be with you. And I'm ready to support you and to be with your side. And when that was clear for me, of course, she started to read a lot also and find out by herself. Then I said, well, we're ready. If New York Times call, we are going there. So that's how it went. So New York Times was also exciting. And there must be 2013 when they had an interview with us, yes. And, you know, that on the front page.
The New York Times.
Yeah. And I was a little scared, you know. But we also were prepared that it could be a different kind of a response on that article.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most of them were very kind and supportive. And
so the New York Times actually flew you to New York and said, will you sit down with
us? No, I didn't pay anything. I went there.
Oh, you just went on your own?
Yeah. Birgitta and I went there, and of course we stayed with Travis.
Okay.
And it was nice. And then.
So Travis had some sort of a contact at the New York Times.
Yes. Okay. And I can't remember why, but I think they met on some kind of conference for religious people and things, and they start having a contact from there.
Okay. So,
and of course, that's also when John DeLynn did his first interview with Birgitta and me for 4.5 hours, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, John likes to have long interviews, doesn't he?
Yeah. You have to keep up. No, you don't. Don't do that. Just go your way. 15 minutes.
Yeah. So, all right. So, how did your life change as a result of the New York Times interview?
Well, we were more public, of course, and what we did find out was that our own children really, well, we talked to them before if that was all right with them if we go public, and we have that support. And through that article and John DeLynn's interview, they said, now we can understand you much more. You know, as a family, you talk to your kids when you have dinners. You talk, you can't sit there for hours. You sit there 15 minutes and I read something about that and that, and they're on the way and I am on the way. So what this did was that they can have, in one moment, they can have the whole story, so to speak. And said, they called us and said, Mom and Dad, we're happy about it, and we understand much more and much better now why you are struggling and why you are doing what you're doing. So that was a nice thing. And of course, Birgitta was employed by the church at the store, but you know, where they sell books, distribution center, she was called up by her boss, and I wonder, what are you doing? And it was kind of an exciting moment, and people in Sweden wonder, and they called us, and she was not supposed to come back to her work, to her job, so we were also on the way to move to Spain the same year, so we were on our way to leave anyway.
So she basically got fired because of that interview, would you say?
Yeah, but wow. They said you can have what they call a green leave, garden leave, sorry, so that they paid her anyway during the time before we left. So that, wow. that handled it very nice, actually. But they didn't want us to be in contact with any members. And of course, Birgitta and I was called to state president for interviews twice. And last second time I took Birgitta with me, and they were going to excommunicate. Thank you. That's exactly what I tried to say. And that's how we let you know. And after 2 weeks, I had a phone call, and I said, we don't do anything. So
they wanted to excommunicate both you and her, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they said, we don't do anything. And that happened twice, really. And I think it happened. In my mind, I think they have to do that because we have the second anointing. So I don't think they do anything if you have that.
Oh, really?
But this is I don't know, but this is the only way I can figure it out.
Well, I know that's a really touchy subject, and I don't want to go too deep into that. But I will say this, you know, it is interesting with the fundamentalists. There's been a lot of people that believe that polygamy was an internal principle that had their second anointing, and then later got excommunicated, and you know, started the FLDS Church and things like that, and they're under the impression that, well, it doesn't the excommunication doesn't matter because I had my second anointing. So so yeah, that's kind of interesting. But
I don't do any more comments about that, but this is just my private feeling. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, that's interesting. Well,
but then
go ahead.
Okay. I don't want it to stop you if you have questions.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, and of course then I'd like to talk to Marlene Jensen again, because, you know, you don't go straight down or straight up. You go like a wave. So I felt, I want to stay in the church anyway. And I like John DeLynn used to call it, circle the wagons, you know. Even if you don't believe everything, you can still be in the meeting. You can still call yourself a Mormon. You can still be a member. So that's what I tried to work on to get the general authorities and the 12 to accept that way. So I called Marlene Jensen again. I said, I really need to meet you again, and I'm willing to go to New York and to meet you if there is any possibilities. And I said, I will find out if that's possible. And after few weeks, he come back and said, well, I can meet you in New York. And then I called Travis and said, can you arrange a good place where we can meet? Then John DeLynn was involved, and he said, I can prepare a questionnaire about why people leave the church. Not only that they are not... They want to sin. They don't want to follow the laws and so on. So let's find out why. So he started to do that. Greg Prince was involved, and he helped Travis and me and John to compile this interview. 3,000 answers, I think John had from that interview. And we can make a very, very professional presentation on why people leave. And there is Gray Prince and Travis very much involved to do that.
So you're talking about the survey that John DeLynn did for 3,000 people? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so he prepared that. So when I should have a meeting with Marlene Jensen, we could present to him the results.
Oh, okay.
So we met in New York, Travis, I, and Greg Prince. And why John DeLynn wasn't there is have to do with... I think John had done something that maybe could disturb the feeling when we met. But anyway, so there we present that there are a lot of people leaving, and the reason they leave are of course a lot of questions about the polygamy and Book of Mormon. But the main thing that really struck out of this survey was that the one who leave, they don't trust the leaders. They don't trust the leaders because they hide things, they don't telling the truth, they're lying for the Lord and so on. So, you know, and we also found out that the people who leave are good people. They've been on a mission, they've been in the temple, they have good families, and they had good education. And so they kind of, the core people that the church really wanted to have. So Marley was kind of interested, of course, but also confused because, wow, this is tough. And there also, I know Greg Prince wanted to that we should have some what we now call essays, that we can explain things. We can't just put it under the rug. We have to be open with it and handle the truth. And Marlon said, I will take it to the brethren, because he was there, because Elder Packer, who was the senior president of the 12, yeah, have given him the assignment to come to New York and have this meeting. And so he was the one who should be the one who worked inside the church, and Travis should be the one who could present it for so many groups in the general authorities and the 12 as possible. And I think they just did a good job, but it's a lot of jobs, a lot of time, a lot of traveling to Salt Lake from New York, from Travis and so on.
Okay, so was this a second meeting in New York, or did that all happen at the same time?
It happened at the same time.
Okay, so in 2012, was it, that you met with the New York Times in New York, and then...
13.
2013, and then so you met with the New York Times, you interviewed with John DeLynn, and then presented all this information to Elder Jensen. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That was quite a trip.
Yeah, and we don't mind. I met with Elder Jensen 2 years ago, I think, yeah, and visit his farm and his, you know.
Up in North Ogden?
Yeah.
No, I'll share with you. I actually grew up in South Ogden, so not far from Elder Jensen, so I'm very familiar with that area.
And he said, Hans, isn't it great, you know, the work we did? And Elder Uchtdorf also talked about it in the state in general conference. And he also had a special presentation from Travis. And I said, yeah, that's fantastic. And you did a fantastic job, Marling. So, he is still happy about it. And I'm happy about it, Travis is. He's just sorry that Elder Uchtdorf didn't meet with him, but he was still there and he gave him a special made presentation in a book form and so on. And after that, the essays come out.
Right. Now, did you connect those two things together? Because I know in my interview with Matt Harris, he connected the Swedish rescue and then Elder Uchtdorf's talk, and then a month later, the essays come out. Did you link all that together at the time, or did you just think it was a coincidence?
No, I linked that together.
Okay.
Yeah, but of course, it's a lot of things happening around that I don't know about. Right. But I received, after New York Times article, I received a mail from the church historical apartment, anonymous, thanking me because they said this would help us to come out with the truth more faster than you think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Isn't that interesting? He wouldn't tell his name, but anonymous. He just wanted to thank me.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, in a way, I think my role was that I was serving with these beautiful people, and I was kind of a door opener. And then everything else, just with the help of the Lord, gave situations that they could do the things they could do.
Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Hans Mattsson. Our next interview with Hans is going to be our 500th episode here on Gospel Tangents, so that's something to celebrate. But it's only going to be available to newsletter subscribers. In our next conversation, I'll ask Hans, if the gospel topics had come sooner, would that have affected how he felt about church history? I was definitely surprised by his answer.
Oh, that if those papers come out that early, maybe I would have left earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they would tell me that they have not been honest for so many years. And they have hidden things that they now publish.
For those of you who are interested in the entire interview uncut without any interruptions, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview for just $5 a month. Also, we have other tiers. If you'd like to subscribe on our website at gospeltangents.com, click on the yellow subscribe button and you can subscribe for $10. You can also do that on Patreon and get a PDF transcript. We've also got some other ones for $15 and $20 if you'd like to get those as well. If you're interested in individual transcripts, go to Amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can see our past interviews there in paperback form. So just check out Gospel Tangents. We're always updating those. For the latest updates on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/Gospel Tangents, and you can see our latest updates there. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. Of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And please give us a 5-star rating for those of you who listen to audio only. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.